All right. John chapter 14 is where we are. We're going to pick it up, guys, in verse 1. We're going to read through verse 9. And we're really keying in tonight on verses 4 through 9. So I want you guys, as we first read through, I'd like some participation from you guys. What sort of things jump out at you? So John 14, let's start in verse 1, go all the way through 9. Julie, will you start, please?
Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me.
John 14, verse 2, Mrs. Love.
In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you.
If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you may be also.
And you know the way where I am going.
You said they am the Lord. We do not know where you were going. How do we know the way?
Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known the Father also. But now the Son is coming.
Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? You have seen me, have seen the Father. How do you say, show us the Father?
That's good. Yep. Okay, guys. What from verses 4 through 9, what sort of things right off the bat hit you? Caleb. Because they should have. So, like, you know how sometimes maybe I'm teaching math, and this is a really good question. Why didn't you just tell them, you know the way where I'm going, when apparently they didn't, but they should have. So sometimes I'll be telling a math kid, they have a question. I'm like, you know how to do that. I know they know. Okay? They're stumped. They're not thinking it through. They're not taking all the information they've had. So sometimes if they continue to persist in asking, then I'll explain it to you. But sometimes they can, you know how to do that. I want you to think your way through that, right? So when Jesus says, you know the way where I'm going, they should have. And we'll talk about that a little bit. It's a really good question. They should have known. Now because they persist, he ends up giving them more of an explanation. Yeah, you've been with me this whole time, and you still don't get it. But it tells you something about. My dad says the thickness of the human skull. He says, the size of this Old Testament. that basically you got 1,500 years from the time the law was given until the time of Christ. Says that tells you the thickness of the human skull. Well, here, these guys spent time, Jesus, we'll talk about the timing of that, how much time they had spent with him, very, very intimately, and they still weren't connecting the dots the way they should have been. So, probably a little, one thing, guys, as we go through the Gospel of John, I always like to think about us in reference to Christ, because we want to be like him, but then also sometimes think about yourself as some of the disciples. And there's little warnings, like sometimes it's the, thickness of our own skull. that we get to stop and consider and say, okay, what am I not getting that the Lord wants me to get? What am I not recognizing about God and His character that I should be getting? So we'll, it's a really good point. We'll talk about that too. Anything else?
Emily.
Yeah. It's very interesting, isn't it? The cool thing is you see different people's personalities. Hey, Thomas seems to be one of the more vocal in terms of asking some of the questions. You remember before, Thomas was the guy when they're going to go down and Jesus is going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And they're like, why are we going? These guys, and Thomas like, hey, let's go die with him. You know, I think he's just one of those vocal, says what's on his mind sort of guys. You know, and so it's kind of, you know, to think too in the body of Christ, to recognize, guys, we don't all have the same personalities. So maybe you're the quiet person, you don't ever ask anything, and the person that asks the same questions drives you, hey, there are people, and actually I'm thankful for the people that do ask the questions, because usually somebody else has the same question, is afraid to ask it. But basically we just gotta, it is interesting, we gotta, you know, you notice those things, and the Lord calls all different types of people, and we want to have a good attitude towards all the different types of people. Yeah. Can I show you guys something, though, that might surprise you a little bit? Let me see here. So, we know from John's account that Thomas is the one who later on that Thomas doesn't believe unless he sees. But you know what? You put the gospel accounts together, the rest of the disciples were exactly the same way when they first heard. Just when Jesus showed up to them, Thomas wasn't there. But they didn't believe when the women first told them. They were all in the exact same boat. Thomas is just the one that's like, yeah, right, guys, prove it. So they all were stuck in that physical mindset. You can tell by Philip, the question he asked, they still didn't get it. So. Manifestation.
You know, with miracles and things like that, part of the scene and this and that. So they, you know, I guess, I don't know if they were related to that as, you know, seeing God.
Yeah, and I think the problem, John, really, is that all of this to them is a preview. It's happening, they're seeing Him, they're still under that old covenant. Nothing's transitioned yet. So Jesus is bringing all this New Testament teaching. He's even communicating about who He is. But do you realize, like, everything changes at the resurrection. We get to look back on that. And so we have the hindsight, you know, 20/20. But if you think about putting yourself in those shoes ahead of time, you'd see all those things that Jesus did and you'd be awed by them and you'd be, you know, yeah, this guy's a prophet, and this guy, you know, even they sometimes say he's the Son of God, but they don't, until his resurrection, it just doesn't all come together. Yes. And when you have a preconceived idea of something, it is tough to break you out of it. Right? Even Phil Robertson needs somebody to show those old guys how techie stuff. So. Exactly. You don't really know me, right? So, Julie and I have been married 22 years. Every once in a while, we might ask each other that. Do you even know me? Like, right? On a particular thing, right? You think after 22 years, I would know everything about this woman inside. Well, you guys aren't surprised if I don't, because women are complicated to men. But, you know, But there's still sometimes things you don't know. And so part of what we're going to talk about tonight is knowing God, like really knowing Him. How long have some of us been Christians? I was just thinking, John Baranczyk, you're one of the first disciples in this town I got to make. That's like 20 years ago. Okay. Brad, you were a Christian before I hit town. Okay. But so some of us have been Christians a long time. Do you ever kind of ask yourself, I mean, could you hear Jesus maybe saying to you sometimes, like, do you really know me? There's more to know. So, okay, well, guys, let's dive in here a little bit. The first big picture thing we want to talk about comes from verse 6, the way. I mean, really, the questions leading up to that, too. But kind of like what in that video I showed, it's very popular in our world today to... There's many ways, many paths. Do you guys notice how much Eastern mysticism is interwoven in? Yeah, Julie and I actually went to eat today. We went on a date to Pita Pit, and it was, you know, a good meal. I walked out there, but I said, you know, Pita Pit, I like the food. But their customer service stinks. Like, the people don't know how to be... I mean, they're not rude, they're just not nice. Sorry for anybody if I'm offending anybody listening online that works at Pita Pit or something. But you know what I told her? But you know what? At the same time, the people that they hire there, it's a very diverse group of people. And so diversity is... So for a lot of people who are into that kind of food... They probably appreciate the diversity as much as they would customer service. I don't know if you know what I mean by that, but there's kind of the, hey, just anything goes, everything's okay, whatever. It's that sort of, as long as we're on this, let's use this word, it's that sort of vibe. Okay? No pun intended. So, but guys, that's, you know, you think about the workout stuff, yoga. How much do people, yoga and the meditation and what's that? Oh, it's nothing fun. Hey, the poses are fine. I don't have a problem if you want to do a downward dog or an upward dog or an upside down dog or a swirl. Oh, anyways, that's fine with me. But there's a lot of religious stuff that comes into that. A lot of the, what am I saying? The jiu-jitsu and the martial arts stuff. Jeff, you did some martial arts for a while, didn't you? Did you notice the philosophy? A lot of those... There's a religion that goes with that. See? It just infiltrates everything. And so there's really... It's really a big thing in our day, guys, that everything, whatever path you want to take is fine. Okay? And... So the flip side of that is anybody who's going to say there's only one way, the response you're going to get from people is you're closed-minded, you're cultic, you're, you know, whatever the words that are, you know, a hater, you know. But and now they're equating everything to race. You're a racist somehow. You know, whatever word can be thrown out there to kind of make you look bad. But, you know, Jesus is very clear. He says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's a very exclusive statement. Okay. You also think about who can quote Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate's wide and the way is broad that leads to what? Destruction. And many are those who enter by it. The gate's small and the way is narrow that leads to what? life, and blank are those who find it. Few. And narrow. They're one way. We saw earlier in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, I am the door. For one door. Here we see there's one way. And so Jesus actually warns about false prophets who come to you. Because one of the biggest frauds out there is the religious marketplace, all the false teachers that are saying, you know, hey, here's lots of paths, but here's a path. Here's a path I'll show you that will help you get there. Okay. One of my pet peeves on the, you know, I liked a lot of things about the Passion of the Christ. And there was a lady named Diane Sawyer interviewed Mel Gibson, did a sit-down interview with him following that movie. And she was trying to pin him, you know, how those... And he was doing really good. Like, throughout this interview, he did a really good job. And a couple times he was like, it's in the Gospel of John. Diane, why don't you read it? You know, it's in the Gospel of John. Diane, why don't you read it? But then she asked him, at this point, she was like, so, she's like, are you saying that the only people that are going to make it to heaven are Christians? And he said, no. He said, we're all God's children. He said, I'm saying that's the only way I could get there. I wish he would have said, it's in the Gospel of John, Diane, read it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. It's not popular. Mel Gibson, that was the one place he backed down in that interview. Jesus don't back down. That's why they killed him. But he is the only way, guys. It's important for us to get that. So, Caleb, your question. You know, why would Jesus say, you know the way where I am going? What anybody remember context we've been talking about? In my Father's house are many dwelling places, right? If it were not so, I would tell you. He's talking about the way into heaven. The way to God. You know the way where I'm going. So, let me ask you a question. Did Jesus ever tell the apostles of the crucifixion that was coming? Had he ever told them about that? In his teachings? Yeah? Had he ever told them about his resurrection that was coming? Hey, let's just go back to the Gospel of Mark, because it's three chapters in a row. You can hit this really quick. Mark chapter 8. Verses 31. Let's read 32 just for the fun of it. Well, we won't get to verse 33, but Mark 8, 31 and 32. Caleb, would you read those? Next time, it'll be Caleb Mills. Okay, man, is that what it is? Caleb, would you get that? You're probably about ready to start reading. But notice in verse 31, Jesus tells him what's going to happen. He's going to suffer many things. He's going to be rejected. He's going to be killed. And after 3 days, he's going to rise again. And what's Peter's response? No way, Jose. And Peter starts rebuking. We know Jesus has to call out Peter. Okay? Why? Peter's brain shuts off before he ever hears about the resurrection. Do you see that? Well, exactly. Yeah, and they even ask some questions. When he's transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John, when they're coming down from the mountain, they say, hey, why is it that the scribes say the Son of Man, you know, I just lost the phraseology here. I want to get this right. So Jesus says, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. And his disciples ask him, why then the scribes say that Elijah must come first? So they actually have the idea of a resurrection. Even to the point where they're saying, the scribes are saying Elijah has to come first. But they're not connecting it with Jesus himself. They're just not getting it. And when he talks about it, every time their brains shut down. when he talks about his crucifixion. Look at chapter 9, verse 31 and 32. This is really telling. Mills, would you get that? Mark 9. Where's Thomas when we need him? Hey, they were afraid to ask him. Hey, they didn't get it. And they were afraid to ask. Go to chapter 10. Verses 32 through 34. Same thing. Jesus tells them, took the 12 aside, began to tell them what was going to happen. Okay, I'm going to skip this for the sake of time. But he tells them the same thing. 3 days later, he will rise again, and that's when James and John come up and start worrying about, you know, sitting on his right and on his left. They just aren't getting it. Okay. But Caleb, they should have known the way, where he was going. Okay. They had opportunities to. But I think, you know, Jesus is a great teacher. He's the great teacher. And so when he teaches too, there's a way he sometimes, I think, puts stuff out there to get the questions to come. Yeah, we'll go. We'll go die. Yeah. But they aren't, they don't. And now they're like, and now he's like, they're like, what are you talking, what are you talking about? You're going to prepare a place for us, huh? Like, what's, you know, and honestly, you guys kind of hit on it. They probably are thinking physical mindset. And so they're probably saying, like, where's he going to set up his kingdom? Where's his palace going to be? What's his, you know, you can almost see in their minds. They're just having a discussion about who's the greatest. Not that long ago, they were arguing about this. So they're probably, that's the way their minds are probably going. Yeah, Nikki. Yeah.
Right, they were set on physical.
Exactly. Yeah, that you read that today? I read that today. Yeah, and he's like, beware of the teaching of the Pharisees, and you know, so yeah, but their mind, so it plagued them very much. Exactly, Brad. There was a veil, and that veil, guys, doesn't get removed till we're immersed into Christ. Okay. So, and so I like Thomas. He does ask, how do we know the way? We talked about that. And Jesus answered, I am the way. We don't have time to read this, but you guys know Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. If you don't know it, it's a good one to lock in to be able to show people. Like, the biblical, I like to say one of God's favorite number, the number one. Okay, it's one Lord, one faith, one immersion, one, right? One God and Father, like God cares about the number one. There is one way. And, you know, we might say, yeah, we know this, but guys, I am telling you, this is something you will spiritually fight the rest of your life. If you're going to save anybody's soul, this is something you're going to have to deal with. There's one way. There's one church. There's one body. There's one faith. You aren't going to be able to be mamsy-pamsy about this. Oh, you know, no, this is not the time to be nice in the wrong definition of the word nice. You have to take stands for truth. There is one way. Nobody going to make it there without that. So you're not doing anybody any favors by backing down from that. Hey, it's one thing people need to help understand, and we want to be, I'm not saying be a jerk about it, help them, see. But you know, you got to challenge people. There's a guy Bible study with, and I said, hey, right off the bat, I said, I want you to think about some things. What's your church teach about salvation? I want you to find out for me, and we're going to compare. Because if the church you go to doesn't teach the one way of salvation, that's not the one church, is it? And we just got to, you know, we got to take stands on this. Jesus did, I'm the way. Speaking of, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. It's going to be through Jesus' death and through His resurrection, isn't it? Can anybody quote 1 Peter 3:21? Corresponding to that? Baptism now saves you? Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, right? But appeal to God for a good conscience. This is a very important last phrase. I want to see if anybody can get this. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because the one way that we enter in, it's through the resurrection of Christ. That's what immersion's about. There's only one way. You read Romans 6. What's immersion about? His death and His resurrection. This is the one way, isn't it? Nobody's going to come to the Father but through that. Yep, Romans 6. Yep. So, and then Jesus says, I'm the truth. Guys, I love truth. I love, and I encourage people, like, you start seeking out truth. We have a name that we've kind of coined for people, truth seekers. Hey, don't you love it when you get interaction with a truth seeker? Like, you can tell they're interested in truth. Hey, I love it. It's like when you start having interaction with somebody and you tell this person's interested in truth. Hey, the beautiful thing about the way God has this set up, when you start pursuing truth, really pursuing it in any arena, it will lead you to the one who is the truth. So encourage people. And we ourselves, something we don't ever want to lose. Part of the culture of the Lord's church, we want to be people who seek truth. There's a saying I have, truth doesn't fear examination. Truth's never afraid. No questions that truth's afraid of. So we want to encourage people, like, look for truth. Proverbs 23:23, one of my favorites, buy truth and do not sell it. Like, you hang on to that, no matter what. We live in a world of absolute deception and lies. Isaiah chapter 59 is amazing. When you go further into Isaiah chapter 59, and one of the phrases in there, it's depicting the world. It says, truth has stumbled in the street. That's the world we live in. So we want to encourage people. You start searching out truth and then bring the truth to them, and that leads them to Christ, because He's the one who's the truth. So, you know, we got a singular mission of bringing Christ to people, but man, there's a lot of sowing that we're doing, and one of the things we're doing in sowing is just really helping people to get an interest in the truth. Because it's a rare commodity in our world. So every day, the way we interact, the way we carry ourselves, the things we talk about, the things that we pursue, other people are watching us, and we're going to either help them, you know, the Super Bowl's coming in a couple weeks. That's fine. But who cares? You know, how about King Jesus? Okay, I don't care about professional football, so let's talk about Bobcats and Grizzlies, right? Because I care about that. Who cares? Like, let's. The real thing. We got to get people to start pursuing truth a little bit. So, and then Jesus says, the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Every other religion, guys, ends in death. Don't kid yourself about this. You know, there was a discussion I had recently, and somebody asked me a question. They were like, well, they said, and they were very sincere in their question, but it was, you know, some of these, I mean, what, you have choice, like you, like in Luke, the church you go to and you preach at, like, you guys tell the truth, and, but it's a very small number of people. And then there's places that are preaching to, like, huge audiences. And they don't tell all the truth. And what I've found most of the time, it's not what they say, it's what they don't say, you know, in those places. But they're, you know, they're like, I mean, it's still good. And I'll tell you this, there's a context in which I'm thankful for any knowledge that anybody gets of God in Christ. It does have an impact. But don't kid yourself about this. If you don't tell people the truth, all the truth, it's a false religion, and that false religion leads to death. You're not doing anybody any favors by allowing them to, you know, think that they're fine staying in a church that's not the Lord's church. Jesus is the life. The only way we're going to find life is through Christ. All other religions lead to death, including counterfeit Christianity. So, I think we get that. Let's get on to to know God. You know, the purpose of God's Word, the purpose of Christ is coming, is so that we might know God. I still... Tyler, you're just one of my favorites. It's just that line, like the very first Bible study he ever came to. There are two things he wanted. And he said, one, I want to know God, and the other, I want to get married to that lady that was with him. And both of those things. But, that's why God has given us his Word, and that's why he sent Christ, so we can know him. You know, the religious world uses terminology sometimes, and because they misuse it, we're afraid to use it. But is there such a thing as a relationship with God? Yeah, we want to know God, right? The way Jesus says it, you know, I and you, you and me. Like, a common word we put on that in our day is relationship. Okay? Now I know the religious world messes that all up, but God wants us to know him. Okay? We should know and be known by him. Okay? So, matter of fact, go to John 17, verse 3. John 17, verse 3. Julie, would you read that?
This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So, you know, let me ask you guys a couple questions. Can people know about God apart from Christ? In a general sense. Yeah. What's Romans 1 say? Like, what's something God's given that's... What? They're without excuse. Because of what? Exactly. Those attributes that we see, God's attributes in the creation, right? People can know about God just from the creation. It's actually fun to think about. I mean, you think about every single... I'm not artistic at all. Those of you who know me know that. But man, I enjoy art. I enjoy people who are. I enjoy seeing things that they make and that they, you know, the pictures that they paint or different, you know, renditions they have. And because there's something about that person that comes through in their painting or in their drawing or in their, you know, sculpture or whatever. Do you think about God? Like, there's something about God that comes through in this creation. Every day you wake up and you get to see the sunrise and you get to see the sunset, and we live in a place, these mountains are so amazing. Like, if you just stop and consider for a little moment, every day the creation, like, there's some things about God that you can't help but know. Wow.
Just the waves.
You just think about that. It's... How do you... You know, I mean, just so... People are without excuse to not know about God. Like, there's a lot you can know about. But can you know God? Just through the creation. You can't know him. Even through that whole Old Testament set of rules, you could learn a lot about God. You could learn about his holiness. You could learn some things about his character. But could you know him? Moses, the one guy who God says, all the rest of these prophets I talked to in visions, Moses I talked to as a man talks to his friend, and yet you know what Moses' prayer was after that? I want to know your ways so I can know you. Moses wanted to know God, and he never really got to. The only way we can ultimately know God is through Jesus Christ. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. I have to hurry here. There's a couple of really things I want to hit before we wrap up. Luke 10, verse 22. Jesus says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. You aren't going to know the Father except through the Son. The Son's revelation of who God is. So, real quickly, let's just talk about this. There's a barrier of sin. Nobody can know God when that barrier of sin is there, Brad. That veil you said. Okay. Christ takes that barrier away, doesn't he? He removes that barrier at our immersion into Christ. Okay. So now there's no barrier there, but just being immersed into Christ doesn't mean you know God. It means now you can know God. There's a difference, right? Talking about Julie and I being married for 22 years. We get hitched, we say, I do. Okay? And then that marriage can go, well, a lot of different directions. But people can be strangers in the same house for years and years and years. Unfortunately, I know a lot of older married couples. That's the way they are. They sleep in their own rooms. It's like they're surviving two people in the same house, and they're going to grind it out until they die. What a wonderful existence, right? Okay. But you can get immersed into Christ and never know God. How are you going to know Him? From His Word. That's one way, isn't it? You have to actually listen to Him. Okay. Now, let me ask you a question really quick. And prayer. Those are the two. We're not going to get through the rest of these notes, so let's just talk about those two things. The Word and prayer. And I think both of those are incredibly important. But let's think about this. Tyler, you're a diesel mechanic, right? Do you think it's possible that if you, like, somebody like me that's kind of book smart but not necessarily mechanically inclined, but, you know, it's possible I could read some of the manuals and stuff and I could look and I could understand what you're supposed to do. Does that mean I know how to do it? I know, I've worked with my brother Matt on stuff, and he'll give me the manual, I'll be reading it, I was like, okay, yeah, this is what you need to do. I can't do it. I can tell him exactly what he needs to do, but I don't know how to do it. You know what I'm saying? Applied, exactly. Applied knowledge means you gotta do it. The whole gospel, or the whole 1 John, you ever read in there how many times it says that you may know, that you may know, that you may know, that you may know? That know is the Greek word gnosis, and it means to know by experience. Roger gave me an example that he got from a guy named Francis Chan, and he was telling somebody to go, you know, I might not get this quite right, but we're out of time, but. Oh, okay. I'll save it. Okay. But the only way you really know something is when you know by experience. You gotta do it. And so it's one thing to read God's Word. Okay? But we don't want to just be hearers of the Word. We want to be, when we do it, now we're walking with God, aren't we? Okay? When we do His Word, we're walking with Him, and now we get to know Him. We know His ways. We understand why. So we want to be doers of the word. The second thing is prayer. Guys, prayer to actually talk to God. To communicate. I was telling Julia today, we were just talking about that. And for me, I don't even think this fully explains it, but this is the words that come to mind. Reading God's word changes the way I think. It really does. It changes my mind about reality, about what's true and about what's false, about what's right, about what's wrong. And I'm very, very thankful for that. But you know what prayer does? Prayer, like, gets it into my heart. It solidifies it, and it also, it changes what I want. Do you know what I mean by that? You can know what's right and wrong. You can know what's true and false. You can know what's, you know, the way things really are. But do you want to do them? When you talk with God, I would just suggest, like, your prayers have them based from His Word, so He's directing that conversation, but now you're communicating it back. You think about self-talk and the power of self-talk. James says it's like a rudder on a ship, sets the course of your life. When you speak back to God about things He said and you seriously have that meaningful conversation and you apply it and you're thinking about what that means and you talk, I want to be careful. I don't want to say talk back to God because that sounds like a kid back-talking the parents. But you have a communication back with Him. It drives into your heart and changes who you are. So we want to know God. Hey, through Christ, guys, the veil's been removed. Right? There's no barrier there except ones that we want to put there. So the barrier is gone. If we want to know God, we can. That's what really this whole thing is about. That's why Jesus came. This is eternal life. That we may know God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. So I want to encourage you this week. Ask yourself, how am I going to grow in my relationship with God? You people that are married, it's a good question to ask yourself. Hey, how am I going to grow in my relationship with my spouse, right? If you don't ever ask those questions, you're probably never going to put a concerted effort to actually do that. Well, how about our relationship with God? What if we never ask? What are we going to do to grow in that relationship with God? How are we going to know Him more? Read the Word. Read the Word. Pray the Word. Do the Word, right? And we'll know. We'll get to know Him more. So I want to encourage you guys all this week. All right? You doers. Let's do a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank You so much for everything You've done for us, who You are, for Christ in us, for the opportunity to know You, to know Your ways. We're just thankful, Lord, that You've also called us to walk with You, to be participants with You, really from our immersion on. In our immersion, we are crucified with You, and we're raised to walk in newness of life with You. So, Lord, I ask this week that we would carry Your Spirit with us, that we'd be led by Your Spirit, and that we would really every moment, I mean, I guess we can start, Lord, just every day to consider, to desire, to want to be just like You. We're thankful for the opportunities, the conversations we get to have with You, the way that You'll help us make adjustments as we need to along the way. And Lord, just the journey, Father, is so beautiful as we get to know You more. Help us to be committed to that this week and to enjoy it, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.